Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Women's World Cup co-hosts Australia and New Zealand both scored 1-0 wins Thursday over European opponents as the female football extravaganza officially kicked off. In Sydney, a record home crowd of 75,784 saw the Matildas of Australia beat Ireland. Steph Catley scored the goal on a penalty shot in the 52nd minute. The Matildas got some bad news before the match when star striker Sam Kerr was ruled out of the team's first two Women's World Cup games after suffering a calf injury in training. And in Auckland, New Zealand defeated Norway on a goal by Hannah Wilkinson in the 48th minute. A crowd of more than 42,000 attended the match at Eden Park. These New Zealand fans were at Eden Park, and they celebrated the victory.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool to see a FIFA-level competition in New Zealand. We don't get that often, so it was absolutely amazing to see the crowd, and really cool to witness New Zealand beating an opposition that was higher ranked than them. So, no, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, this is amazing. To get their first win at home while they're hosting, this is just, it's a moment in history.
Yeah,
women's football and for New Zealand women's football.
I have been a fan of soccer since I was 3 years old. I watch it every game mostly. I cheer for everybody, and I just mainly love soccer. My family and my soccer team was watching at home, and
we're really excited for New Zealand. It's next level.
Yeah.
And we got our shirt signed by Allie Riley.
To be honest, I thought we were gonna get whipped. So I was pleasantly surprised. You know, it was 1-0. And then, you know, there was actually really good defensive play from the Norway team. So, like I said, both me and my boy and the rest of the crowd around us, we were on the edge of our seats. It was amazing.
That New Zealand fan we just heard also approves the Women's World Cup kicking off about 12 hours after a deadly shooting in Auckland. Two people were killed, and the gunman also died.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, hey, who expects to come to another country and be, you know, very, very close to that? So, yeah, hats off to everyone involved. But, you know, really, really proud that we pushed on, you know, gave a minute of silence at the start there and really got on with this beautiful, passionate game that we love. So, yeah, really happy it did go on, you know what I mean?
After the events of today, I think that it brings the fans closer to their fans, and I think that it made them, you know, feel connected within their playing.
If you're just tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, the 9th FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament officially kicked off on Thursday. World Cup co-hosts Australia and New Zealand both scored 1-0 wins over European opponents. Australia defeated Ireland, and New Zealand beat Norway.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The Super Falcons of Nigeria are making their 9th Women's World Cup appearance, and they'll be the first African team on the pitch at this 2023 edition. The Nigerian ladies will play Canada on Friday in Melbourne, Australia. The Copper Queens of Zambia will play their first ever Women's World Cup match on Saturday when they meet Japan in Hamilton, New Zealand. For some details about Zambia's preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye called Hamilton, where he reached Copper Queens media officer Mike Mubanga. Mubanga told Iron Mike the Copper Queens arrived in New Zealand after a big win over host Germany in a friendly World Cup warm-up match.
First off, it was a very big game, not only on paper, but also in reality, in that it was one of the three games that the Football Association of Zambia organized for the Copper Queens in their European tour, European camping program. First, they had Ireland in Dublin, then Switzerland in Bien, and eventually Germany in Fürth. big, big game that the Copper Queens showed, and they turned up, defeated Germany in front of over 11,000 supporters is not a mean achievement. I mean, Germany has played the likes of South Africa, Nigeria, and they've triumphed, but the Copper Queens showed resilience and defeated the game. So I think that's the kind of game that the Copper Queens needed to be subjected to, because they have huge games coming up ahead against Japan and Costa Rica at the World Cup. So it gives them an insight of what they should expect at the World Cup. And obviously now Coach Bruce Mwape has an opportunity to see the kind of opposition they expect in Spain, who almost play similar kind of football with Germany.
The Copper Queens have been in camp for over a month. What's your assessment of preparations by the team for the World Cup?
Well, the preparations have been smooth because prior to the European camp, the Copper Queens had a local camp where they also had a send-off friendly with Tanzania. They beat them 1-0 in Lusaka and proceeded to Germany for a European camp from 14th June. I think that it was a good camping program. It really brought in a lot from the Copper Queens, issues to do with tactical and coordination, and also it gave an opportunity for the coaches to really, really have a look at their final team. Remember, they didn't take a final squad. They took a provisional squad of 35 players. So it is from the European camp that they were able to come up with the final team. So this camp gave an opportunity for the coach, Bruce Mwape, and his technical bench to assess all players and eventually come up with a final team. Apart from that, it also gave coach an opportunity to assess the players and also ensure that the players were treated to a high-level training program. It was intense, physical, and also it was a mix of friendlies and training program. So this is as it should be, and I think the Copper Queens would poise to be ready to play at the World Cup owing to the kind of preparations that they had.
Some football analysts think that the Copper Queens are in a tough group at the World Cup. What's your take on Group C?
I would agree with analysts because Group C is very tough. I would say it's one of the toughest groups in this World Cup. Japan are 2011 champions. Spain, Costa Rica could not be regarded as Spain and Japan, but it's a mix of American, European, and Asian opposition. And this is what makes it tough, because you don't know what to expect when the teams meet. And they start tough against Japan. So game's never easy, but this is the World Cup. And the World Cup is full of tough fixtures. So we should expect Zambia to really show up and prove that they deserve to be at this World Cup. Also, Japan want to prove that they are back on the international fold, having won the tournament in 2011. 12 years later, they would want to repeat that. Spain also want to show something. So it's not going to be an easy World Cup. It's not easy a group. But I believe that Zambia should fancy themselves owing to the kind of preparation that they've done. The first game is probably very important against Japan. And if they can pick a point, avoid defeat, win will be a bonus, then I would say that they really stand a huge chance of going to the next round.
That's Mike Mubanga, the media officer of Zambia's national women's football team, nicknamed the Copper Queens. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Hamilton, New Zealand.
Sport greetings. This is Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copper Queens. And you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The United States kicks off its Women's World Cup campaign on Saturday when it plays Vietnam in Auckland, New Zealand. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten profiles the U.S. team. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The United States is home to the number one ranked women's soccer team in the world, and the two-time defending World Cup champions are on a mission to clinch the title for an historic three straight tournaments. Head coach Vlatko Andonovski announced the names of his 23-player squad, a roster led by Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan, who are both set to compete in their fourth Women's World Cup. Rapinoe told reporters she believes this year's tournament will be a game changer.
This World Cup feels almost like a, you know, show up and show out kind of vibe. I think it's going to be incredible. I said before, kind of paradigm shift globally. I mean, I think we're having it a lot in the U.S., but I think just globally, you've seen what's happened since last World Cup. There's so many examples of this, and it feels like this is like a paradigm shift or a moment we'll look back to and say like nothing was ever the same after this Women's World Cup and what we're going to be able to do. And all bets on the Women's World Cup. Money's in on that. I just think it's going to be an incredible event.
And Rapinoe adds that the soccer showcase could also launch global business opportunities for women's sports.
We've always taken the opportunity to show exactly who we are, not just our team, but the women's game in general. But it feels like a real opportunity to kind of like blow the lid off just in terms of fanfare and media and sponsorships and the sort of larger business around this sport. I think everyone is sort of hip to the game now and understands that this is, you know, not somewhere that's just like, oh, we should cheer for the Women's World Cup because that's the right thing to do. It's like, this is actually a terrible business move if you're not getting in on it, if you're not investing, if you're not putting resources to it, and if you're not tuning in, you're sort of missing out on a massive cultural moment in so many ways. I think we know that for bottom line, you know, equality is actually good in a shocking turn of events. Equality is actually good for business. And, you know, I think that that's something special that the women's game has. And this feels like, you know, the sort of premier event. I mean, it's the biggest women's sporting event in the world by far.
A FIFA decision guarantees each athlete at least $30,000 for competing in the Women's World Cup tournament. That figure includes players from the 16 teams that do not advance beyond the group stage. And members on the title-winning team will each receive $270,000. The prize money for the women's tournament totals $110 million, an increase of more than three times the prize pool in 2019. FIFA's groundbreaking move is a direct result of collective action that was taken in 2022 when the Global Soccer Players Union, FIFPro, drafted a letter calling for improved conditions and an increase in prize money for Women's World Cup teams. That letter was signed by over 150 women's national team players and sent to FIFA President Gianni Infantino. USA World Cup veteran and team forward Alex Morgan praised FIFA's new reforms.
FIFA has actually done, surprisingly, coming out of my mouth, a very good job at increasing the prize money. We still have a ways to go, but having them direct payments to the players is huge. I mean, it's a life-changing thing for some of these players entering the tournament. So coming away with each player making at least $30,000 is huge, because a lot of federations, usually that money goes to federations and you don't, and those players don't see any or much of that money. With U.S. soccer, we have in our contract equal prize money between the men and the women, which is a shared pot, and that's the only federation in the world that does that. So we're very happy that we fought for that and we're able to attain that. Now it's up to FIFA and the other federations to do their part. And I'm very pleased to see what FIFA has done. And I look forward to seeing more good news along the way, this World Cup and future World Cups, as we narrow and eventually equalize the prize money.
FIFPro is now urging FIFA to enforce equal conditions for players taking part in qualification for the next Women's World Cup. The U.S. Women's National Team roster is an enticing mix of veterans and rookies going into this year's tournament. Five players, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, midfielder Julie Ertz, defender Kelly O'Hara, and goalkeeper Alyssa Nayer, were part of the championship team in 2015 and 2019. The squad features 14 new faces, including 21-year-old Trinity Rodman, who says she models her game after her famous father, former NBA champion Dennis Rodman. For the past few years, head coach Vlatko Andonovski has constructed his team into a lineup of talent that he says could clinch a record third straight World Cup title.
When we talk about World Cup, I don't think there's an athlete, or actually there is a soccer player or a coach that does not dream of a World Cup. You know, if you're a soccer player, you dream to play in the World Cup. If you're a coach, you dream to coach. So it is a dream come true for me personally. And obviously myself, together with the staff, will do anything possible to help this team make history. We want to do it for the players. We want to do it for the team. We want to do it for the community. We want to do it for this country. We want to do something that has never been done before. We believe in the quality of the team. We believe in the support that we have, and we think that we have what it takes to make it possible.
The defending champion USA is a favorite to win it all in Australia and New Zealand, but Alex Morgan acknowledges her team will face some challenging competition.
I think it's tough for us to put even more target on our backs by saying we're a favorite or not. So, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we already have a target on our back coming in as reigning World Cup champs. But there's some teams that have done incredibly well over the last 4 years, have made a name for themselves to compete for this trophy. And so I think I'm very optimistic with our chances with this roster.
The United States have been drawn in Group E alongside the Netherlands, playoff winner Portugal, and World Cup debutants Vietnam. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. My Twitter handle is at @VOAsunnySports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com.
Well, hey, sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ann O'Neill, a former Division I academic and athletic All-American basketball player and WNBA player, presently a coach with the Jordan Wara Foundation. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever. whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
If you're just tuning in to the sunny side of sports, the FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament officially kicked off on Thursday, and the two host countries, Australia and New Zealand, both got off to winning starts. Australia beat Ireland 1-0, and New Zealand defeated Norway by that same 1-0 scoreline. The Czech head coach of New Zealand, Jitka Klimkova, says it was thrilling to win in front of the home fans at Eden Park in Auckland.
I still have goosebumps. I still have emotions in me. It's we waited for this moment for such a long, long time. And having this opportunity at home, beating Norway, strong opposition, hearing our fans being behind us, that's just unforgettable moment for me as a coach, and of course for all the players that have been involved and all the people that are actually supporting our team. So incredible feeling. I really believe this World Cup will wake up a lot of passion in football, and one of our goals and our priorities as a team, we want to keep inspiring. We want to keep inspiring with those performances like today, like tonight. Having even the win in our pocket is some bonus that came with really good performance. And this is just the beginning. We knew Norway is very strong opposition, very strong team, very experienced team. We knew that they will create chances, but how we defended, how we were gritty in our defensive third, that was what we were working on so hard. And I'm so happy that we actually put the ball into the goal, because again, that was one of our biggest work-ons. So I believe the performance and the result keep inspiring the nation. And if we will have this crowd behind us every time we step on the field, that's what we need. We need this kind of push, and the fans for us are so important. So I want to thank them for coming and supporting us, and I hope they will keep coming, and the love for football will just grow in this country.
That's Jitka Klimkova, the head coach of the Football Ferns of New Zealand. And she spoke in Auckland Thursday after New Zealand defeated Norway 1-0 in the opening match of the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament. The Football Ferns are making their 6th Women's World Cup appearance. They've never made it past the group stage, so I know Coach Klimkova and New Zealand fans want the team to show its growth at this World Cup. The Football Ferns will next play the Philippines on July 25th in Wellington, New Zealand.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Carol Castiel, who is planning to retire from The Voice of America at the end of July. And this sunny side of sports programming note, Muck Bill Yabberow will be hosting the show on Friday and for the next couple of weeks. As I enjoy some summer vacation, I'll be back on Friday, August 4th, for a special show celebrating the 60th anniversary of the VOA's English to Africa service. Here in Washington, the Gunners of Arsenal thrashed the Major League Soccer All-Stars Wednesday night 5-0 in a friendly preseason match. The official Arsenal webpage says it was the perfect way to get the team's series of three friendly fixtures here in the USA underway. Brazilian striker Gabriel Jesus got things started early with a fifth-minute chip-in off the post. The Gunners gave their fans more to cheer when the Belgian Leandro Trossard curled home a strike in the 23rd minute. Another Brazilian, Jorginho, coolly converted a penalty kick in the 47th minute. Yet another Brazilian, Gabriel Martinelli, and the German Kai Havertz rounded out the scoring. A sellout crowd of more than 20,000 attended the match at Audi Field, located within walking distance of our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Finally, the AP's Steve Carney takes a look at Wednesday's Major League Baseball highlights.
The Baltimore Orioles grabbed the title of best record in the American League thanks to an 8-5 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Designated hitter Gunnar Henderson homered and scored three runs to help the Orioles avoid being swept.
We're not going to give any games away, and I feel like that's what you have to do to make the postseason run is those two game leads at the end of the season. You'll look back and then those you lose the first two games of the series and you could just kind of get down and lose that last game, but I felt like that's just a testament to our team.
Baltimore is now percentage points ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays, who were swept in Arlington by the Texas Rangers with a 5-1 decision in their finale Wednesday. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees skid continues out west. Mark Myers reports.
The Angels beat the Yankees 7-3. Taylor Ward got it started with a 2-run homer in the first inning.
Always want to jump out front early and keep it, so for us to do that today, it's really good.
Chase Silseth struck out 10 in his 5 2/3 innings. Carlos Rodon remains winless as a Yankee, giving up 6 runs and falling to 0-3.
The Twins, Astros, Athletics, and Tigers were also winners in the American League. In the National League, the Cincinnati Reds' 6-game losing streak ends thanks to a Will Benson 3-run homer. The Reds beat San Francisco 3-2. The Pirates, Brewers, Cardinals, Padres, Diamondbacks, and Cubs were also victorious in the National League. Legal troubles have cost a Cleveland Browns defensive lineman his job, Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
Perrion Winfrey was cut by the Cleveland Browns after police opened an investigation into him being involved in a robbery. A Cleveland police spokeswoman said its law department is processing a report on Winfrey, and he is listed as a suspect in an aggravated robbery incident. The 22-year-old Winfrey was previously arrested in April after he allegedly caused bodily harm during an argument with a woman he was dating in Texas. The charge was dropped after Winfrey completed a pretrial diversion program.
And that wraps up the July 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.